The 2022 FIFA World Cup is underway in Qatar. Five teams from African countries are competing for a chance to win the ultimate prize in international football. What are their chances? This week, we'll look at Africa's hopes and history in the World Cup, how the beautiful game has shaped sports culture on the continent, and how Africa has shaped international football. Straight Talk Africa starts now. Hello there and welcome. We are in the throes of the world's biggest football tournament, the FIFA World Cup. And World Cup mania is in full effect. Hello there, I am Heidi Adams. 32 nations, five of them from Africa, are competing for the title of World Football Champions. An estimated 1.2 million fans have descended on Qatar for the first World Cup to be held in the Middle East. And VOA's Sunday Shomari has somehow found himself in the middle of all the action.
Morocco is the best.
I expect the best for our national team.
Which team are you supporting?
I supported the Portugal team.
Why that?
Because Ronaldo is my favorite player.
I would like the victory for the Senegal.
A really difficult situation for us because Sadio Mane is the leader of the team. His absence does affect a lot the team. Next game we will try to play without him, to involve everyone, to involve the whole team. I think, yeah, it's time. It's time for us to take our lead without Sadio Mane for sure.
Inshallah, I think Argentina will be win.
I wish all the best for Tunisia, and I'm sure that we're going to win. Inshallah.
Tunisia, Tunisia.
Oh,
and I'm going to be
win. Oh. Morocco will play the very good game. Even if we lose, no problem, but we will deal a good game. This is the mindset.
Brazil!
A lot of excitement and prayers going out there from teams in rooting for the African teams and others around the world. And our Sunday Shomari joins us now from Doha. Sunday, great to have you part of the show. There's been no shortage of shock and awe from this tournament so far. Lots of excitement, right, until your team doesn't do so well. But Sunday, what are you seeing and hearing from fans there in Doha?
Thank you, Heidi. As you said, I found myself in the middle of excitement and fun, and a lot of things are happening. As you see people right behind me, this is downtown Doha in the metro station where it connects everyone in a place called Mshereb, which means a place where you can get cool water. What it is this place is very important because it's like a hangout spot. Everyone from everywhere around the world, all these fans are right here. And this time around, actually, they're not very many. But when the sun goes down, when it's nighttime, it's even more fun. A lot of people show up here every night. I can tell you, at night, it looks like New York in the middle of the day. Very, very busy and a lot of action, like the pictures we were just showing. So people are happy, excited, and very happy because, as you said, the people from Middle East, they're saying this is history in the making. The very first World Cup in their nation. Not only that, the one that is very expensive, Heidi.
Oh, but you seem to be quite the hangout spot yourself. I see a lot of people hanging out there around you, Sunday. But listen, there's also been a lot of controversy surrounding this, and a controversy off the pitch. People talking about customs and rules they have to adapt to. And there's been some challenges with ticketing as well, right?
Absolutely. For sure. One of those, you remember we talked about beer. Do you have a beer? Are you going to have a beer or not? And of course, you can't have in the stadiums. But before that, they thought they would. But anyway, in these fan zones, there are places specific called fan zones. Those areas, they're allowed to have their beer. But anyway, On the other hand, when we come to ticketing, there's so many people coming in the country right now to try to get to see the games. However, if you don't have a ticket right now, you cannot come in the country. So those ones in the country who are trying to get more tickets, there is a specific ticket center where you can go and buy and purchase the tickets. But let me tell you, my colleague was there this morning. The line was very, very long.
Well, Sunday,
and after a long wait, yes.
Sunday, we're going to have to wrap it there. But thank you so much for that really exciting report. Please enjoy your time there and keep up the good reporting. Thank you so much. VOA Sunday Shamari speaking to us there from Doha in Qatar. So what are the chances an African team makes it to the World Cup finals or even lifts that famous gold trophy? VOA's Jackson Mbunganye is taking the temperature among fans of the Black Stars in Accra, Ghana.
I believe the Black Stars will make an impact. I can't say the Black Stars are going to win the World Cup because that would be me dreaming in a wonderland, you know. But I believe we'll make an impact because the Black Stars, whenever expectations are low, that is when they tend to rise up to the occasion. They might not be the household names we used to know. They are Samoajans, the Michaelisians, the Sulemuntaris. They might not, you know, be like them. But what we have now is a group of players who are on the rise, a group of young players who are hungry to succeed, a group of young players, a chunk of whom have never played at the World Cup before. And so they will see this as an opportunity presented to them to play football on the global stage, and the biggest stage football has to offer. And so I'm sure they would like to take it.
Yeah, my name is Gabriel. At first, I thought I was just thinking that the Black Stars were not that good, but after watching the game they played with Switzerland, I saw the quality, and from the strikers to the defenders to the midfielders, I think we are now ready. Yeah, it reminds me of the days of Asamoah and all those people. So I think, and even with the match that we're going to play on Thursday, I think it's going to be a 2-2 draw. I mean. A draw.
That's your prediction?
Yeah, that's my prediction. But what I think so far is Ghana is going to go far. We are going to qualify from the group. People are underestimating us, and I like it that way. We are going to surprise the world. Yeah, they all know that, a lot of people are doubting them. So, I mean, yeah, they just want to surprise them. They just want to prove Ghanaians wrong. That's how I see it.
Well, we go now to Jackson Mbunganye in Accra, Ghana. Jackson, what is the mood there? What are the supporters of the Black Stars telling you?
Hello, Haiti. Akwaba, as they say here in Ghana. As you can see, I am donning my Black Stars T-shirt. Ghanaians are very excited. They're waiting, anticipating for a win. You know, they're coming into the first match tomorrow, Thursday, with Portugal, which is the number 9th ranked team with one of the greatest players in history, Ronaldo. But that is not scaring them. They know that this rematch, remember, they played in 2014 against Portugal, and they lost 2-1. But this time they're coming in, they know that they have confidence, that because everybody feels that, you know, it's a young, relatively young, inexperienced team, but they know that they're going to surprise the world.
Jackson, I can feel the energy from here. Of course, we have to stay neutral here, except for Sunny, and we'll see his outfit in a minute. But thank you so much, Jackson. I really appreciate it. Have fun in Ghana. It's a beautiful country.
Thank you.
And that's Jackson Mbunganye there for us. Well, Ghana, Senegal, Cameroon, Morocco, and Tunisia are carrying the hopes of an entire football-loving continent. And to join me now to discuss Africa's World Cup hopes, heartbreak, and history are Sunny Young. He's the host of VOA's popular sports show, The Sunny Side of Sports. I appreciate that South African shirt, even though Bafana Bafana has broken my heart one too many times. And then, of course, VOA's Africa Division program manager, Mamoyo Hamza, and also joining us via Skype is Memory Malisawa. She's a sports analyst, and she comes to us from Lusaka in Zambia. Memory, Hamza, and Sunny, welcome to Straight Talk Africa. Let me just put a little disclaimer in there.
Thank you. Soccer
is not my forte, but I'm going to pretend. What they say, fake it until you make it, I'll pretend. But I do love watching the World Cup. But this is exciting. I mean, you have to be living under a rock to not know what is going on here. And Sunny, I'm going to start out with you. This is a World Cup of many controversies, but also many firsts. And for the first time, local coaches are leading the African teams. What's the significance of that?
I think it's a great symbol of the development of African football that they have entrusted their teams to local coaches. There's always been sort of a tug of war. Should European coaches be in charge of African teams? Do they have better experience? Do they have better tactics? But we have Aliou Cisse in charge of Senegal, Otto Addo in charge of Ghana. They both played at previous World Cups. And I think it's a really good sign that African football continues to rise.
Hamza, what's your take on this? And give us some of the highlights you've seen so far.
First of all, I have to say, Sunny comes in with a South African jersey.
Yes.
12 years too late.
Oh, my goodness. Please don't make me laugh, my ugly South African laugh here. But I appreciate it, Sunny.
But, you know, the significance of African coaches, I think, exemplary is Aliou Cisse, who is heading a Senegalese team, a proven football player. He played in several African European clubs, and he has been leading the Senegalese team, won the Africa Cup of Nations. So this is as Sunny says, it's coming full circle that now you know African teams can entrust African coaches to lead their team, and they're doing well. I mean, you just asked about the highlights, and Sunny will chip in right now. I think the highlights so far, for me, Saudi Arabia beating Argentina, that was one. It could go into being one of the biggest upset of World Cup history, and the goal by Al Dawasir, the second goal, just the strike itself,
spectacular.
And mind you, was spectacular, and mind you, he was surrounded by three Argentinian players. And my other highlights is Memo Ochoa, the goalie for Mexico, with that save which actually gave Mexico a point in that game. I mean, that was a spectacular show.
Ole, ole, as they say in Mexico. Yeah, and I will point out, quick highlights, we have three Arab-speaking teams that have already picked up points in Qatar. Saudi Arabia, Tunisia, and Morocco, which to me maybe is a sign that they're comfortable playing in the Middle East in an Arab-speaking country.
Memory, what were the highlights for you? And could you outline for us some of the weaknesses and some of the strengths that some of these African teams are coming into this tournament with?
Okay, I'll definitely, when you look at, the current World Cup, obviously in Qatar, we've seen so far three games from the African countries. And for me, the major highlight, of course, not being an African team, but hey, it's, Saudi Arabia beating Argentina by 2-1. For me, it's a big thing because we're talking of Hevrena, who's the coach for Saudi Arabia. That man made Zambia win, the Africa Cup in 2012. So he is part of Zambia. He's actually Zambian. He's one of us. So for us in Zambia, his social media went awash after that win. It's like Zambia was being represented by Hevrena. So for me, that was the major highlight. But then when you talk of the weaknesses of the African teams, and maybe I'll say this in general because I won't say much about the current World Cup because it has just started. We've just seen three games so far. The first one, for me was the one I felt an African team would have done better, really, was, Netherlands up against Senegal. I think the Senegalese in that game, they really had it, pretty well. And they really performed very well despite losing by, 2-0. But then what I feel African teams are lacking at such competitions in most cases are issues of, endurance. Sometimes they get their tactics wrong. And also, when you look at, the concentration levels, I feel sometimes they don't get it right there. And in most cases, especially when they concede. So I really feel concentration levels sometimes stuck here and there. And also endurance are for me really, those are some of the challenges that, you know, African teams first, especially at such high-level competitions.
Hamza, there are only 5 teams representing Africa. Is that a healthy number for a continent of 54 countries?
No, it's not. But it has gotten better. In 1974, we only had Zaire in the World Cup. And they lost, I think, by 9 goals or something like that. So the number has gone up. And I think in the coming years, the number of teams in the World Cup itself will go up to something like 48. Sani will correct me if I'm wrong. And the African teams will also will have more African teams, up to 19. So it's growing up, you know. But as it stands right now, 5 is not enough. We should have more teams for a continent that has 54 countries.
Sunny, will that increase our chances of making Pele's prediction come true?
I think it has to increase the chances. And I have to repeat, 3 teams, Ghana, Senegal, and Cameroon, all participating in Qatar. They are the only African teams to reach the quarterfinals. So it would be great to see one of them, or even maybe Morocco or Tunisia, get past that quarterfinal stage at a World Cup, maybe to the semifinals or even the final.
Memory, what does it take to make a team successful in a World Cup?
Really, well, I think it all starts with preparation, Heidi. When you look at the way the team prepares, I think that is very important. You know, preparation is everything. And obviously, above all, we are looking at skill here. But then when you talk about what it takes, I think it has got a lot to do with game management. Like I mentioned earlier, you know, endurance levels. And also, you know, when you look at game management, I think, you know, we need to agree that sometimes the teams, they do not manage their game pretty well, which end up costing them. For example, you might, you know, concede early, and the way you come back or how you handle that will really determine how far you can go. One good example I can give is in the Senegal game, Senegal against Netherlands, I think just after they conceded, you could see that they were a little bit frustrated, and they went on to acquire like a two or three, you know, cards, which in my view, I feel that is dangerous, because in an event where you lose key players, that will affect you negatively. So I feel when you have it right in terms of game management, coupled with the skill, obviously the players that were caught, I think those are some of the key things that really will help the team to perform pretty well at the World Cup. Preparation has been a very difficult, you know, thing, especially when you look at the African teams. You find that some of the African teams, you know, they don't even have proper infrastructure, you know, in terms of preparations. Even for Africa Cup itself, there are some countries that can't even host a qualifier match because they don't have, you know, a proper infrastructure. Mm. So I feel preparation is key, and also, you know, how you manage game. And tactics also, I don't know why most of the time they get it wrong. But when you look at teams like France, in the game that we just saw yesterday, we saw France, you know, going down in, I think, first few minutes. Australia was leading, but look at how they came into the game. And look at how, you know, all the players were just all together, cool, calm, and collected. And it's such mental strength that we talk about that really can see the team go all the way.
Mm. Yes, if I may say something here, Heidi, as memory
Hamza,
says...
if you don't mind, we're just going to go to a break quickly. I'll pick up with you when we get back. We're going to continue our discussion on the other side of the break. I'll give Hamza a chance to speak then. We're talking about Africa's World Cup history, highs and lows. Let us know which team or teams you are rooting for. Send us a tweet at VOA Straight Talk. Stay with us, Straight Talk Africa. We'll be back in a moment.
from around the world. Let's go.
You're watching Straight Talk Africa. We're discussing the 2022 FIFA World Cup, and I have my guests here with me, Hamza, Sunny, and Memory. Hamza, before the break, you were going to talk about what it takes for a team to be really good in the World Cup.
Yeah, and I was coming along with what Memory was saying. Victory loves preparation. And fundamentally, for African teams to be able to do well in these world tournaments, they have to prepare. And not only for the tournament, that preparations needs to begin with club football. You know, we have to strengthen our club leagues. Doing that will have better players, and that's how we can go into these tournaments in full strength. Even the teams, African teams that are in the World Cup right now, if you look at them, you see their club leagues are very strong. That's why they're able to qualify for the World Cup. So it all comes down to preparations and preparations from down there.
Sunny, what role does team dynamic really play? Because some of the African teams have also drawn on their vast diaspora and have them, even some of them not even born on the continent. How does that affect team dynamic?
Well, that's why I'm looking forward to seeing Ghana play. They play their opening match against Portugal. They brought in a lot of those players, I think maybe the majority of that team will be making their World Cup debuts. You have players like Iñaki Williams, one of their top strikers. He was born in Spain, and they brought in a handful of players from outside of Ghana for this World Cup. So there is a question mark of whether they'll be, you know, cohesive with their other teammates, but one quick similarity between Ghana and the USA, two of the youngest teams in the tournament. And, you know, in terms of energy, you can't count out youth and young legs. So I'm looking forward to seeing the Black Stars. But I think there could be a few question marks about how cohesive Ghana is.
Well, we got some questions from our audience, our social media followers, and I want to put some of those to you. Sunny, I've got one here for you. Jackson Kambanda from the United Arab Emirates asked, when will Africa host the tournament again?
Good question.
You're still living off the fumes of the last time. So when is there any talk about another country?
Well, if we look ahead, the 2026 World Cup will be jointly hosted by the USA, Canada, and Mexico. After that, would FIFA go to an African country within 20 years of South Africa hosting? I kind of doubt it. I think more than likely we're looking maybe at possibly past that stage before Africa sees a return to the World Cup stage as a host. One quick low for me, going back 12 years to South Africa, was when Luis Suarez put his hand up and he blocked a shot that basically crushed the World Cup hopes of Ghana. Interestingly, Suarez and Uruguay are in the same group as Ghana for Qatar, so it's just almost like cruelty in a way.
Well, thank you for the heartbreaking moments. That's taken care of.
And I think the next best chance for Africa to host the World Cup again is if they can put together a system where the more than one country will host.
Correct, like a just, region.
Yeah, just as U.S., Canada, and Mexico are doing in the next World Cup. Mm-hmm. That would be a good opportunity.
Hamza and Memory, I'm going to come to you with a very special, exciting question, but I want to come to Hamza quickly with a follow-up from our social media followers. Here's one from Innocent Simpson Uladi from Malawi. He says, despite the arguments on human rights, and I believe Qatar needs to work on that particular issue ASAP, why does the West act as if it's their World Cup and that only they have a big say in what is supposed to happen? Hamza, is there the sense that there's been these ethnocentric attitudes and tensions around FIFA World Cup decisions?
Yes, yeah, and that always comes up. You see, the thing is, you cannot separate politics from sports. And people try to do that every time, and they do it conveniently. When it plays well for them, then no mixing of politics and sports. But when it doesn't work for them, they say otherwise. But the fact is, I mean, Qatar, by taking the host of the World Cup, they knew this is a world event. So they knew they had to make some natural compromises and accommodation. And to their credit, they have done that. I mean, people are talking about beer. Sunday was reporting right here. You know, you can, there is certain times you can buy beer, certain places where you can, you know, hours you can have your beer. But at the same time, the world has to understand this is a society that has been there for all these years. One of the Qatar official put it very perfectly when he said, don't expect us to change our values for 28 days of football. You know, and I mean, and for the West, I mean, it's like, you know, how do you walk into a halal store and ask for a pig's feet?
Right.
Go to the next store.
Right.
You know, next door. So, I mean, there will always be these, you know, back and forth. And, you know, the West, because the media is very strong in the West, we hear this a lot.
Right.
But the good thing is now social media. You know, third world countries, the so-called third world countries, the developing countries, they are pushing back with these moralistic, right, high priest ideas.
Well, Memory, I have a really interesting and exciting question for you. We don't have a lot of time, but, you know, this World Cup has, of course, as Hamza was just talking about, there were a lot of controversies around culture and customs, but it's also one that has broken new ground, especially it being the first to feature women referees. And for Africa, there's Salima Mukasanga from Rwanda. What does that say about the evolution of international football, and what do you hope will come of a move like this? Very briefly, please.
Okay, great. That shows that the expansion of women's football in Africa, definitely that means a lot for, you know, women out there who love soccer, because now that talks about the fact that a girl child in Africa somewhere can dream of, you know, officiating at a global piece like, you know, the World Cup. And of course, it's just the beginning, that I can assure you, because now that has opened doors for a lot of, African female officials, talking of the performance of African teams. When you talk of, you know, World Cup, especially at junior levels, I think African teams in terms of women, I think they've performed pretty well. We were just witnessing the Under-17 World Cup in India, where we saw, you know, the likes of Tanzania, you know, coming up, coming back with bronze and so on and so forth. So that definitely speaks volume and tells us that definitely when you look at future in terms of soccer, it has got nothing to do with a male-dominated kind of sport. Now it's everywhere. Women are taking up, and it's a very, very good opportunity for the women and girls out there.
Well, this is all very fascinating. And for me, I mean, I'm a little bit of a sports lover. Now I'm a huge sports lover. Thank you so very much, Memory Malasawa, Sunny Young, and Mamoyo Hamza. Thank you for your excitement, your energy. It has been extremely infectious. And that is our show this week. And you can find all our World Cup news stories and analysis on voaafrica.com. Thank you again to all my guests and all that great reporting from my colleagues in Qatar and Ghana. And thank you to you, our audience, for always joining us on television, radio, and for streaming with us online. We'll see you next time. Take good care. Goodbye.